Good morning. Liquid sunshine today, and apparently a lot of it. Wasn't that nice yesterday? It's like, wow, you know, it's like, whew, nice. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. You say somebody, oh, come on, Father, that was 3 days ago. Like, that's old news. No, it isn't. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family. So maybe a good way to start, I mean, there's always different ways, is maybe to invite you to think about how holy you are. Now that might be a big ask, right? When was the last time you thought of yourself as holy? Well, you are. And it's not your doing. It's God's gift. Best we can to live holy lives in the virtues of the gospel. But holiness is something God does because it's something God is and something God gives us in Christ. So I'm inclined to say today, although it's odd, it's not necessarily appropriate, but thank you for being here. Now, it's not mine to thank you, right? Because we're here to really thank God. It strikes me to say that because, well, you are, in fact, here. It might sound like a complaint, but it's not. Maybe it's a bit of a shout-out to all those, Jim tells us, it's an increasing number, and sometimes far and wide, even foreign countries, who are listening to us and viewing us online. But for those who are in driving distance, within at least a couple hundred miles, it's also an invitation to just show up. It really is good to listen online if that's the best you can do. But if you can come, we're here to receive the Eucharist. We're a family. It's like Thanksgiving. Is Thanksgiving the fullness of itself if some of the family isn't there? Even after all these years and all my years, I think that Thanksgiving is still Thanksgiving. We gather every week, and this meal is quite literally a thanksgiving to God. Eucharist means thanksgiving. So that when we gather, we are together as family, the family of God. And what unites us is God in Christ at the table of the sacrament. So really, it's an invitation, it's a shout-out in the blessing of those who are listening online, far and wide, even in foreign countries. That if you are near enough to get here, I simply invite you to do so. I haven't highlighted holiness in my homily. It's kind of between the lines, but there you have it, right up front. Your family's holy. And you say, Father, you've never been to my house. You've never been to my house either. Don't you think in some very odd kind of way, it's the messiness of that house and the people that live there that make us holy? It is. God knows, God understands how messy, how upside down backwards life is. You know, but I suspect most of us, probably all of us, don't really appreciate the value and the depth of the value of family life. I'm just reminding myself, or being reminded, and it is personal to me because I know this person. I know a family that were divorced some years ago, and this couple only had one child. And this child moved on with her mother, who remarried. And the child is like a mid-teenager, I guess, at this point. And what she did for Christmas is ask her father, her current father, stepfather, if he would adopt her. He said yes. What a beautiful thing. Now, it says a great deal about that dad, right? Because he's got two other kids by his wife. This mid-teenager has kind of had a rough way. with the absence of her father and the difficulty of that distant and rather wounded relationship. But think about that. The families we grow up in really have a profound impact in making us who we are, and how we relate. Not sure why that came to mind just now, but it's something I do think about because I know this person and I pray for her, the teenager and the family. And it just strikes me as such a beautiful thing. This actually isn't the homily I was going to give, so hold your breath. I'll have to decide whether I want to use the other one too. You know, another thing comes to mind, and it's not quite as immediately family, but it's absolutely family. I don't remember the city. I think it was in the South. It just was strikingly amazing to me that there was a police officer, a female police officer, who was drawn into a case where there was an abandoned baby. There was an image or a picture of the baby, so it didn't really look like an infant, but not far from infancy. And the child, by every appearance, was hungry and starving. And the police officer, as a female, who I presume recently had a child, nursed the baby on the spot. Who does that? Do you ever read Grapes of Wrath? Isn't that the name of that book? Where, during the Depression in the Dust Bowl of Oklahoma, the aging old man was dying of starvation, really. They were traveling away from the Dust Bowl, and there was a pregnant mother who had lost her baby, and she offered to nurse the old man and saved his life. There's something of family in all those stories. I'm well aware, painfully aware, at how wounded and broken families can be because of the work that how did I ever get into inner healing? No idea. But it was God's call somehow because it's lasted for 20 years and people keep coming. That's the sign, isn't it? If you want to be a spiritual director and you go through a program and you hang out a shingle and say, I'm a spiritual director, but nobody comes, then that's telling you something. But if people keep coming and they're asking in the movement and the light of the Spirit because of their pain and their trust in God and their desire for freedom and healing, and they come, it's not that the work that I and Deborah Turville together with, there's a whole team of people that we have. It's not just she and I. God's doing the heavy lifting there, right? It's the Holy Spirit. It's God. And those things can be healed. Otherwise, the program would have not prospered as it has for over 20 years now. Not sure why I'm starting that way, but maybe because it's hard for us to hear, easy to hear, hard for us to accept and understand, to believe how holy we are. You know as well, maybe better than I, the weight and the distress of the tensions of the world today. It can be very worrisome and very anxiety-producing, but it seems to me that strong family life, in particular these kinds of times, are critical, don't you think? That you have a place in your life, whether your family, as you know family to be, is the traditional nuclear family of biological parents with two or three or five or six, whatever the sibship or children group is. If that's your family, if your family is a blended family, if your family is a wounded family, if your family has six moving parts at the same time and you don't know what to call it, but it's your family because it's the place you go for love and faith and acceptance and belonging and identity, then that's your family. Pretty important. in the recent weeks, I don't remember what Sunday it was, I was really struck by the Jesuit priest who wrote the article in the Jesuit Quarterly Magazine. And I came across a piece, another piece, it was either National Geographic or something else I was reading. The epidemic of loneliness, not only in our culture, but particularly in the American culture, but around the world. And more, it's not just seniors, it's particularly young people. And as I recall, you may recall, that they not only feel alone and separated, they don't feel a sense of belonging. That needs to say something to us psychologically about the stability of the human condition. As strong and courageous as human beings can be, we're really pretty vulnerable at the same time. Without acceptance and belonging and the nurturance of love, human beings can't be healthy, and they just simply aren't. Psychologically, emotionally, relationally. And we see that in a culture, we hear about these shootings at schools and the mass shootings. We hear a fraction of those. There's almost 100 a month, but only one or two hit the paper. That has to say something about the emotional and psychological challenges that many people are experiencing today. I really didn't mean to speak this way today because I do have a different reflection, but perhaps it's appropriate. Because I'm doing it. And I'm hoping it's the Holy Spirit. But that depends on your hearing. If it just sounds down in the mouth and wearying, hear it from the Lord. Hear it from the Spirit. You're holy. Darn it, I don't have my phone. I'd play that Rick Warren thing for you again. You're holy. God made you holy. I think you said in there somewhere, you've been told, you've heard all your life, God loves you. But you don't put it on like makeup in the morning. You don't put it on like a clean t-shirt and get another one the next day. It's on the inside. It's your DNA. It's the fabric of your cells. And when the fabric of that physiological reality of our physical bodies and our souls isn't nurtured by the fundamental movements of healthy human beings, things kind of go kablooey. And unfortunately, our culture today, items of violence, guns obviously, and other items of violence are readily available for those who seek or think they need them. I mean, how many times a month or a week sometimes do we hear children finding guns in their homes in Detroit and other places, and a small child is wounded or killed because a gun is nearby? What are those four groups? Human beings need safety, shelter, food and clothing. They need acceptance and belonging and love. I included safety. That first one is really two. And human beings need a sense of power. And when I say power, I don't mean I'm better than you and I'm smarter, so I'm up on you. Power in the sense that they have a sense of autonomy. They have a certain capacity, even as children, and there's a limit there. There's a certain capacity to make decisions for their lives. That's why I think it's so rich that this middle teenager asked her stepfather to adopt her. Because it will strengthen her sense of belonging. It will strengthen her sense of personal value. I just did that off the top of my head. There's other pieces in that, but those are at least three of the four fundamental things every human being needs. So think about that. Why is the Holy Family holy? They're holy because God made them holy. And now we're probably likely to want to say, well, they were holier than anybody else. Well, maybe they were, if God gave them more grace than anybody. But does God favor some more than others and give some really special grace and the rest of us just get normal grace? I don't think so. God gave Jesus, Mary, and Joseph the same holiness that he gave all of us. He did, in fact, call them to a particular identity, a mission and vocation in life. I mean, how many people can be the mother of God? There can only be one of those. And it was Mary, which is why we have the Immaculate Conception that she received beforehand. You remember that wonderful word, prevenient? She received that beforehand grace, the grace of redemption beforehand, so that she would be a worthy womb, worthy vessel, to be the mother of the Savior. Joseph, too, that just and righteous man. God made them holy, but they both had to say yes. They had to surrender their way for God's way. And it wasn't an easy way. Rightfully, we honor, love, and is worship the right word? Reverence Mary. Please, use the Hail Mary. Say the rosary for the world, for the church. We reverence Mary, and well, we should. But if we angelize her as if her feet never touched the ground and she never got her, you know, dust on her clothes, or she never got aggravated, that's not real. Consider, moms, those unpleasant times. I wouldn't know the experience. Those unpleasant times of your pregnancies, the labor of childbirth. How would you like to do that riding on the back of a donkey from Nazareth to Bethlehem? Ouch. I see ladies going, yeah, How about childbirth in a cave or a stable and your baby in swaddling clothes, which probably at that time were rags because that's all they had. And then, I don't know the timing, within a week, couple of weeks, don't know, maybe a month, probably not more than that, they had to pick up and run off into exile into Egypt. So she gave birth, and then she and Joseph had to keep him safe from harm. And then they had to put up with learning and understanding his way of being. How do you raise the Son of God? You don't get that out of the Baltimore Catechism. They had to let him be. What if Mary wanted to be an overprotective mother? Maybe what if she wanted to make him super religious and forced him to become very virtuous and very religious and say his prayers in just exactly the right way? You think Jesus would have grown up as freely in the mystery of the Father's love if his mother had her own idea of what he should look like as a Savior? She had to let go, but she always loved him with her deepest love, as did Joseph, so they could let him go in that sense to become who he was called to be. I don't know the experience. I can only imagine the challenges of being a parent, particularly today, but I did have parents, believe it or not. They were good parents, not perfect, but we had a good family. But if it's for Mary, Jesus, and Joseph, that holiness is also for ourselves. And it can't just be a coat we wear when we come to church or do religious or spiritual things. It has to be an inner identity. You're holy to God because God made you holy. So the first reading from Sirach. There's three or four other readings we could have used. I think it's an appropriate one. I like the reading. because it not only tells us about the responsibilities of children, because the responsibilities of children only come about because of the responsibilities and the dignity of the parents. So the faith of the parents in their consistent love and nurturance of their children will also encourage and inspire them to not only love their children, but to respect their children, to teach them love and reverence and honor and discipline, teach them their responsibilities and appropriate ages to learn how to work and help and be part of helping the family, make your bed, put your clothes in the laundry, pick up your, that kind of stuff, so they can become responsible young adults, and they can know how to live life and be responsible, and life isn't all about them. So notice the blessings. Now, part of that, in the time of Sirach, about 180, 200 years before the birth of Jesus, there was no Social Security. Families lived that way. Takes a village. We know that phrase. Parents taught their children that because the children were the Social Security of the time. So when the parents aged, the children knew what it meant to love, respect, and honor and functionally or practically care for their aging parents. And what's the fruit of that? Not only, despite and within all the challenges and the messiness of family life even back then, sins would be forgiven, prayers would be heard, and God would bless you with a long life. What's the root of that? The fourth commandment. Thou shalt honor thy mother and father. But to do that, it means the parents loved and honored and respected the children in their love and affection and the maturity of being good parents to raise them in disciplined and responsible ways. And what kinds or how many families is that not present today? Where are all these lonely and wounded kids coming from, you see? Not a complaint, just maybe a prayer, maybe a hope. The second reading from the letter of St. John, indirectly but directly enough, makes it clear. I don't think the reading uses the word holy. But see what love the Father has freely given you. I know it's churchy language, but as you think about what I'm saying about you being holy, think about being a son or a daughter of God. Try to feel from your heart, your soul, your being, that you and I are quite literally, Jesus is quite literally our brother. He's human. So he's our brother because we have a common father in God. That's the root of our holiness. So that the love of Jesus, which mirrors or is the perfect love of the Father, completely surrendered to the mystery of the cross, dies to defeat evil, forgive sin, and give us unity with God in the work of redemption, so that the love the Father has for Jesus, now God has for every single one of us. Our challenge as Christians is to put a face on that by the way we love one another. It takes holiness. We can't do it by ourselves. We can't do it by the virtues of religion. We have to do it by the grace of God. I hope there's something there that will invite you to ponder. What I was going to say today, very briefly, we're in the octave of Christmas. An octave is a series of 8 days, octave Latin for eight. 8 days. The mystery's too big to value, appreciate, and understand in only one day. 8 days. Christmas. This is a holy week, not like Holy Week before Easter, but it's a holy week. celebrating the mystery of the Incarnation today, Holy Family, Tuesday, Wednesday, Mary, Mother of God, the blessing of the new year. Do you remember 1978, I think, Paul II, Paul VI, World Day of Prayer for Peace. You think we need that? I do. That never went away. That's still active. January 1st, World Day of Prayer for Peace. You're part of that. Your holiness is necessary. Your prayer is necessary. The rosary is prayed after Mass on Thursdays. Please come to Mass and the rosary. How do you feel your holiness? Where, how do you feel holiness in your family? You might have to scratch your head on that. Go ahead. It's there. Don't you think Mary and Joseph wanted to wring that little guy's neck in the temple? What do you mean you had to be up at your father's business? I'm going to pull your hair out if you don't do that again. If you do that again. They had to be aggravated. They had to be filled with anxiety. Did Jesus do that on purpose? No. But they forgave him. They loved him. And of course, they make, you know, Luke, the author, tells us, he then went home and was obedient to them. Think about your holiness. Think about your holiness of your family. It's a fruit and a gift of the Incarnation. Christmas. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.